boom.
Working. It's working. Not getting a lot of sleep.
Working for suckers.
Yeah. But after today, I think I'm caught up, so I can go back to normal.
What is normal?
I don't know. Normal is, welcome to week 798 of the Crankcast.
Yeah. Gross.
So I was thinking about Fred Olen Ray.
Okay.
I've only seen, of his entire thing, like catalog of movies he's directed, I've only seen probably like a third of them.
Yeah?
And, well, I mean, you know, some of those are under pseudonyms and stuff. I guess like the sexier movies he does under some Spanish name. Nicholas something or another.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, what was it, like Teeny String Bikini from Outer Space, you know, stuff like that.
Is he only using his real name for like the kids' movies now or something?
I was looking through his
whole. He used him for all those old schlocky horror movies and stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean he uses his real name for a bunch of stuff, but for some reason certain movies he does under pseudonyms. And the only thing I could figure is looking at him is that they were the like sexier movies.
Hmm.
So maybe he just doesn't want to get his brand confused or something.
Yes.
And it's, you know, I mean, I caught a lot of his movies in the 90s from renting videotapes and things like that.
What was the one? He did the, like, knockoff of Slumber Party Massacre. What was it called?
I'd have to look it up.
Because that's pretty amazing.
It's weird, because, you know, knee-jerk, I would say that, you know, it's fair to say that he's, like, an eminently mediocre movie maker. Like,
oh, I would agree.
None of his stuff's super terrible that I've seen.
Yeah.
Like, it's not bad enough to make, like, a list of best bad movies or anything. But none of it's been spectacular, either.
He's made some pretty memorable ones.
Yeah, again, like I do, I remember some of the things I've seen, like Evil Toons, which I thought was actually kind of good, in a way. He was born in Ohio.
What?
He was born in Ohio.
You were born in Mount Healthy?
No, someplace called Wellston. I don't know where that's at. Oh, it's not far from here, relatively speaking. Sort of southern Ohio, right in the like middle southern Ohio.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, though. I can't even find the one you're talking about because he's got so much shit in here. But I mean, he's made he's got like three or four different pseudonyms. Nicholas Medina is the one I think he does the sexy ones under.
Nicholas Medina.
He also uses Ed Raymond.
Ed Raymond.
Most recently, he used that for a 2005 movie called Glass Trap about ants in an office building.
Interesting. David Dakota does that a lot.
Sometimes he uses different pseudonyms in the same movie.
That's a little dumb.
That's weird, isn't it?
I did a comic strip under an assumed name in college, and it was really dumb because there was no reason for me to do that.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I think pseudonyms are appropriate for certain reasons.
Yeah.
Like, again, you know, if you're mostly making, like, Christmas movies and you decide you want to make some sexy movies, it makes sense to use a pseudonym.
Right.
Which, you know, I've seen a lot of his Christmas movies. And I generally tend to like his Christmas movies. A lot of them are Christmas romance movies and stuff.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as they go, they're about as good as most any Lifetime movie or, you know, Hallmark Channel Christmas movie. I do appreciate he tends to use, you can tell his Christmas movies are low budget because he uses, like, real people's houses that have, like, dings in the walls and stuff like that.
It's probably his house. It's probably that actor he uses all the time, that scary-looking dude.
Which one?
There's a scary bearded dude that he keeps using.
Oh, Probably, yeah.
I forgot his name.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of his early stuff, like I said, through like Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers. And Alienator.
Alienator, yeah.
And Terminal Force. Like, I've seen a lot of these.
Terminal Force, is that the one with Bridget Nielsen?
Let me switch over to IMDb. I was looking at his Wikipedia page.
I think Terminal Force is the one where she's an alien, right?
I thought Terminal Force was the one that was sort of a Terminator RoboCop mashup or something.
No, that's Alienator.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm getting those mixed up then. Terminal Force is... That's got Richard Harrison and Troy Donahue in it.
Weird.
It's like this isn't the one I thought it was then. This is about like a rogue cop.
Well, yeah, Richard Harrison.
Yeah. But it, I thought, for some reason, I thought Terminal Force was one of those. I guess I was getting that mixed up with the other one. Alienator.
I guess you were.
Wizards of the Demon Sword.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm starting to remember him.
And I think I've seen Scream Queen Hot Tub Party, too.
Why are you bringing him up again?
Because I just watched a Christmas romance movie by him recently.
You know, this is not the time for Christmas romance movies.
When is the time for Christmas romance movies?
Christmas?
No, not really.
It says it in the title.
All year round. And that's the time for Christmas.
Hmm.
Well, yeah. Christmas romance, anyway.
Hmm.
In fact...
Is there a difference between Christmas romance and regular romance?
Yeah. Christmas romance is much less believable than a rom-com.
Hmm.
I mean, as unbelievable as most rom-coms are. Because you got stuff like, A Christmas in Royal Fashion, or A Christmas Princess. Stuff like that, you know. Those were two of the movies I watched in the past week.
Why, dude?
I like them.
Do you? Sounds like you
don't. I do. That's the thing. They're always dumb. Schmaltzy. But they're also, like, you don't need to pay attention to them while you're working.
Schmaltzy.
Yeah. So. Anyway, that's my thoughts on Fred Olen Ray.
Fred Olen Ray.
Yeah.
He and Ryan Brown would always come up with other last names that rhymed with Ray for him.
Like what?
I don't know, Fred Olen Stray or Fred Olen...
Gray
or Fred Olen Beast of Bray Road. That kind of stuff.
All right. I remember this one. A Christmas in Vermont, which had Chevy Chase in it.
Oh, boy.
No?
What is the one where he... It had several sequels. And
what's it about?
It was these women that wasn't like was it Sorority House Massacre?
I'm looking through. There were several bikini themed movies that seemed to be sequels, or at least loosely together.
Bikini what? Massacre?
Well, like Bikini A-Go-Go and Bikini Chain Gang and...
No!
Bikini Girls from the Lost Planet.
No!
Bikini Pirates?
No!
These are all Nicolas Medina movies, by the way.
Hmm.
Oh, Emmanuel 2000? No, that's not
funky it. Funky Cold Medina.
He is a Funky Cold Medina. I'm not seeing...
I'm gonna get you!
Is the one you're thinking of, like, old?
Ooh.
Is it old or new? Oh, yeah, I forgot he did Star Slammer. That was sort of a girls in prison movie in space. Yeah, I don't know the one you're talking about. And I don't see it.
Unless forget it. I'm thinking of Jim Wynorski.
Oh, well, there you go. Oh, I'm going to kill you. So.
Wynorski and Owen Ray are about the same.
Just that eminently mediocre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the Super Shark by Fred Olen Ray?
I haven't seen Super Shark yet, but it is in my queue. I started watching shark movies again because I was like in the middle of watching those when the furry friends died.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't watch the rest of them.
Is it Shark Week again?
I don't think it's Shark Week until August.
Okay.
Or September.
Or is it always Shark Week?
I mean, you keep Shark Week in your heart.
Right. Shark Week is always with us, I think.
I don't know if that's true.
You don't think so?
It's kind of a dumb thing to say.
We're never far from Shark Week?
It's kind of embarrassing.
Oh. My faux pas. My Fred Olen pas, Ray.
You're not doing it right.
I'm not. I'm really not. Okay, so.
It's Fred Olen K.
My Fred Olen mistake.
There you go.
Okay. Speaking of people who were, well, at least lived in Ohio, or lived in Mount Healthy, to be more specific, apparently one of the paintings that's now up in the Oval Office was painted by a guy that lived in Mount Healthy.
Was it you?
No.
And I don't give a fuck.
Well, okay then. Moving on. Have you been watching WandaVision?
I have watched WandaVision. I like it.
I have not.
Not much. What, you haven't watched it?
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard a lot of good things.
I like it. I mean, not a lot has happened, but I like how experimental it seems to be.
Is that a Netflix?
That is a Disney Plus.
That makes sense, yeah. I don't know why I thought Netflix.
Yeah, dumbass.
Well then. Okay, you tell me something.
No, I already did.
Oh, come on now. Don't be like that.
I like how you just let it roll off your back when I'm mean. I appreciate that.
I'm desensitized to it. You know. Kinda gotta be.
I can't beat this level of Homescapes.
What's that?
It's a phone game.
You're playing phone games?
Well, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, that seems a little... I'm hurt more by that than your words, Mike.
Okay, so I just got in the mail off of eBay the September of 1987 Guitar Player magazine.
Jimmy Page on the cover?
No, it's just the generic disembodied hands on a guitar.
Oh, okay. Why did you get this?
The headline says Speed, How to Get It and How to Use It.
All right.
I had this issue when I was a kid. I remember it well.
Did it teach you how to get speed?
No, because the article doesn't have any tabs or any, like, examples. But it does have one of those pull-out records.
Okay.
Which I didn't have a record player either. So I never listened to it.
You're talking about, like, one of those little, like, floppy, thin plastic...
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, just neat to see the page design and, you know, graphics of the late 80s in magazine form. Also, there weren't really any tabs in this one. It's like actual sheet music.
Oh. That's weird. I've seen Larry
Coryell playing over the changes. His article. Chet Atkins wrote an article in here. Nylon string knowledge.
Just break that thing breaks.
Drop some nylon string knowledge on us, Mike.
It's mostly about stringing stuff.
Oh. Okay.
Bass tracks by Nathan East.
I don't even know who that is.
Arlen Roth on shifting positions smoothly. Oh, that has tabs.
Oh, there you go.
Rick Emmett. About warming up.
Well, he was an excellent guitar player.
He was.
I mean, I guess he still is. I don't think he's dead.
All right. So what happened to him then?
Went solo.
He did?
Yeah. No, he went solo back in like late 80s, early 90s.
A lot of Carvin ads in here.
I used to love getting the Carvin catalog.
I got the Carvin catalog because I'm looking at all these and there's every ad has a cutout, like send in your address to get. And I did that with all of these. Here's the guitar player giveaway for Fernandez. $700 value.
Man, I could not afford a goddamn thing in the Carvin catalog, but I love to look at it.
Yeah, but it was expensive.
Maybe, but they'd walk you through doing like custom builds. You could get like a custom double neck from them and stuff.
Loop and pattern exercises by Jorge Strunz. Sweeping examples by Frank Gambale.
This just sounds like a home ec magazine.
Yeah.
Loop and pattern? Sweeping?
Let me read you. What did he say here? The one question I get asked more than any other is how can I improve my speed? It sometimes seems as if we're in an age that is obsessed by speed and that it's all important while those who don't have it are apt to tell you that it's not really essential and that musicality is foremost.
I don't even know what that meant.
Meditate on that.
Okay. We'll think about that one. Okay, I'm done thinking about that one.
Okay. Rick Vito. What the Ibanez pedal ads in here.
Oh, there you go. It's like a step back in time.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've still got
Ibanez Fat Cat Distortion.
I don't even remember that one. What year was this?
1987. Henry Kaiser?
Yeah, got me.
Ads for... Oh, Yngwie Malmsteen for DiMarzio pickups.
Ooh. I think he pronounces them DiMarzio.
That's another Carvin ad. Jesus, Carvin owned this magazine. And Hamer Guitars. Two guitar companies I never see anything from.
I always wondered about that. Is it Hamer or Hammer? Because
Hammer would be two albums, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, some names are like that. If it's pronounced with a soft A, like it could be Hammer.
I don't know.
And the reason,
I'm not...
Well, the reason I wonder that is because they had a guitar, I think it was one of their budget models, but it was called the Slammer.
The Hammer Slammer?
That's why I wonder if it was Hammer.
Interesting. Oh, there's an ad for the Digitech Digital Stereo Chorus Flanger, which I had as a youngster.
Did you now?
Yeah, this is not interesting for anybody. The article about David Rhodes, who played for Peter Gabriel.
This would be better if we were doing a video thing so you could show the article, you know, or the ads.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm not.
Not really feeling that, though, huh?
There's an ad for Schaller electric guitar strings with a sweet airbrush tiger painting.
That's awesome. I didn't even know Schaller made strings.
I don't know.
I do like their tuning keys.
Steve Stevens for Marshall Amps. The apparently the guitar player official gig bag was sold out in this ad. So.
Oh no.
Yeah, sorry, Tony.
I hope those come back in stock.
Oh, reviews.
Ooh.
Reviews for.
Wouldn't it be odd if, like, Guitar Player Magazine had, like, a section that was, like, Penthouse Forums?
Oh, my God.
Like, you know, where you'd have, like, a guitargasm or something? Like,
I don't remember. I don't notice. I don't know who any of these people are, so I can't really. Well, anyway, I bought this because inside it had a gatefold poster of
Eddie Van Halen
that I used to have on my wall of 100 pro guitarist picks.
Really?
Yep.
That seems like a weird thing to have on your wall.
I'm sorry.
Kind of dumb, actually. I'm embarrassed for you.
Really? You think that's dumb?
I'm just replaying the conversation from earlier in the show.
I'm embarrassed for you for bringing that up again. What do you think about that? Punk?
Not as embarrassed as I am at you lashing back out at me like that.
Well, you need to shut up or hate you.
So, like, I mean, are picks interesting for you? Are they interesting to look at?
It's not about that. It's about that I used to have it.
Right.
But now I have it again.
But were the picks interesting to you then?
Yeah, I must have thought so, huh?
Interesting enough to put up on your wall, I guess.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Well, everybody's got their thing, I guess. Yours is picks.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, guess what I found out got a reissue shortly after we were talking about it on the Crankcast a few years ago?
I don't know. What?
Dog Police.
What? Why?
They actually reissued that on vinyl.
Oh, boy. Did you buy it?
Well, I've already got a copy of the original. I didn't really see a reason to buy it again.
Because you're a lunatic.
Dog Police. But, oh, where was it? I'm trying to see where I saw it. I must have saw it on Discogs, because I don't think they have it on Amazon. I suppose. But for the low...
That's what you get.
What?
That's what you get.
That is what I get. But for the, the low, low price of... I don't know how much. Oh, it was 2019 was when they reissued it. Yeah. But, yeah, for the low, low price of $21.99 plus shipping, you too can own Dog Police.
$21.99?
That's the cheapest I see it, yeah. Might be able to find it on eBay cheaper or something. Apparently, the reissue is on blue vinyl as well. But I don't see anything about whether it was, like, remastered or anything like that. It does contain two original unreleased demo tracks. Doggy Fashion and Arbom. So maybe it is worth buying for the blue vinyl and the extra tracks. Oh, it was a limited edition, too. Only 500 on blue vinyl. What do you think about that?
I approve.
Good. Good. I just thought that was funny, though, because I think we were talking about it in, like, maybe 2018 or something like that. That's when I hunted down the record and bought it. And I happened to stumble across the fact that it was reissued, like, earlier this week. I thought, hey, I should bring that up. We caused a long-out-of-print album to become reissued. See what kind
of you think that was us?
Oh, sure, it has to be, right? Nobody else knew who they were. I mean, you know, who else could it have been?
You're right, I'll take. Oh my god.
So what's going on there?
They're playing Fortnite.
Can you do? Yeah, I guess you can do that as a team thing, can't you? Or is that no? Fortnite's a total solo game, isn't it?
Sean's playing by himself.
Up to four players.
No.
Sean's playing by himself.
Sean's the one playing, though. You just watch.
We like to watch.
That was a tagline for a movie.
I don't care.
But, anyway. I've still never played Fortnite. I just, I assumed I'd get my ass kicked on it.
That's probably a pretty good assumption.
At this point,
I think I played it once, and I don't think I played a full game.
Yeah, I just figure, I mean, at this point, there's been enough people playing it for a long enough time that they've just gotten really good, you know? And it kind of aces people out, sort of.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, Bitcoin. The best time to get into it would have been...
Bitcoin.
Like, at the beginning.
Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin's at an all-time high, I think, last time I looked.
No, I just fell. Just fell a bunch.
Oh, okay. It's such a volatile thing. It drops, it rises, it drops, it rises. Do you guys own any Bitcoin? Bitcoin?
Addison does.
I was gifted $10 worth of Bitcoin, and at its highest it got up to $17, and now it's at $13.
Ooh, well at least it's always gone up, more or less, though, right? Like,
yeah, I was gifted it kind of right towards the end of its big climb. Now it's
kind of
leveled off and it's like going back down a little, so.
Decline.
Might start going back up again.
Going back up.
It's kind of just fun having like a tiny amount just to be like, what's it doing? But I don't think it's ever going to be worth much.
And you can say, hey, I own Bitcoin.
I own Bitcoin.
Give me your Bitcoin.
I mean, it's still worth a lot if you have one full Bitcoin. Yeah.
I have 17 Bitcoin.
Wow. Damn.
You
have a lot of money there.
Yep. I own y'all.
What is...
If it had been so easy to get it, to buy it, back when it first came out, I probably would have had some. But I feel like it only got easy to, like, for just a normal person just to get recently.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of time spent just unlocking enough of it to share around, anyway, for the first few years, or from what I remember of it. Mm-hmm. And then it got to the point where I was reading reports of, like, Bitcoin farms, and just the amount of energy, physical energy, that it took to run the computers to unlock the Bitcoin was sort of outstripping the value of the Bitcoin. So, like, you kind of had to sink a lot into it to get it.
Yeah.
But
now you can just go on Cash App and buy some.
Yeah, or you can just set yourself up and ask for it as payment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What was the, I guess it, the most popular story was that guy who got his Bitcoin and then used it to buy pizzas.
Oh, yeah.
And now, like, the money he spent on that is like would have set him up for like a lot of money.
Yeah.
If he would have kept it.
Even at the time, he spent like $300 for the pizza.
Yeah. Like,
the most expensive pizza ever. Because he could only use so small of a denomination or something like that.
It was something. I remember seeing it on a news report a year ago or so.
Mm-hmm. Sean was telling us about the guy who... had, like, how much worth the Bitcoin?
He has $250 million.
Jeez. $250 million worth of Bitcoin, and he forgot his password to access it and only has two tries left.
Oh, that's recent, right? I think I saw something about that.
Yeah.
That's me.
It's Mike. He just keeps crying.
Like, how do you not remember, for something that's, like, that valuable, how do you not write that down or something?
2009.
Yeah.
You don't ever just, like, make random, like, accounts and then, like, think, oh, nothing's going to become of this. And then
he bought it for, like, $100 in 2009.
Wow.
Or something stupid cheap. And it was just on some, like, hard drive.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it sucks for him. I guess it doesn't do anything for the rest of us.
But he's tried, like, all of his passwords he can remember and different variants he keeps putting in, and those keep failing.
That's the worst when you're off by, like, one symbol or anything.
Or, like, the difference between a cap and a lowercase or something.
Yeah.
It's like, I know it was this word, but, like, I wonder how much Bitcoin is missing, like, due to, you know, circumstances like that.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it's just not in circulation or has disappeared on a hard drive somewhere that got destroyed or something?
Just like real money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, except for real money, you can just print more.
Yeah.
Bitcoin's got a, I mean, it's got a limit.
Well, they keep seeding new Bitcoin until, I can't remember what year it is that they're going to stop creating Bitcoin.
I thought part of the algorithm was that it was inherent that Bitcoin had an upper limit from the beginning, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, but it has a specific year cutoff that there'll be no more Bitcoin after that. Like, available, so then it'll be capped, and there'll only be so much Bitcoin out in the world.
I guess theoretically that would drive the real-world value of it up, right? Because nobody can create new more of it, I guess?
I guess?
Or
rather, the problem is, not, I mean, the real problem, too, is that no one's treating it as a real currency. So
some people are, because, I mean, they're investing in it.
Yeah, but they're treating it as, like, stocks, not like you would a living currency.
Oh, I see. It's not being, you mean like it's just not being used as general transaction stuff. It's just being as a, it's being used as a money counter.
Exactly.
Okay.
Unless you buy drugs.
Yeah, a lot of pirate websites and stuff, you know, ask for donations in Bitcoin.
Jar. What's a pirate's favorite letter?
B, for booty.
Oh.
There's a lot of people in 2012 who bought Bitcoin to buy stuff on Silk Road.
Yeah.
And forgot about it.
Man, you remember when I was going to kill my wife? I forgot all that Bitcoin. Good thing I didn't do that, huh?
Tragic. that was one of those things where early on, when it was new, I thought about getting into it, but I'm like, this just seems ridiculous. It's totally made up. And I'm like, what's the point? You know, it was sort of how I was looking at it.
What is the point?
There's egg on my face. I should have jumped on it. Then I, could afford to get a new air conditioner or something.
Well, you ain't gonna need that for a while.
It's coming sooner than you think, man. It's only a couple months until.
Don't you threaten me.
Oh, Mike. You'll know when I'm threatening you.
Why are y'all whispering over there?
I'm trying not to be too loud.
I don't trust these guys.
For good reason. I mean, Sean has stated that he wants to kill you. Unless those plans have changed.
Have you stated that you want to kill me?
Well, you were on his murder plan. No?
I guess. Yeah, right. I guess I didn't want to believe it.
Well, better to face facts and, confront it directly. Or not. I don't know. Whatever.
Why you gave up so easy?
I mean, my brain ain't working right, man. I've really not been getting a lot of sleep lately.
Go to sleep. What did you say?
Go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
I plan on it. Soon.
Try closing your eyes.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Oh, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're real dumb.
That's why they're so dry.
You made him laugh.
Interesting tidbit, factoid, whatever you want to call it. Blue eyes are the second most common eye color.
Really?
Yeah, but they're only like 8 to 10% of the population has blue eyes.
Hmm.
That means, you know, and I think with the most common color being brown is somewhere like in the high 40s, low 50s% of the population.
Yeah. If not blue, what color would you think was the second highest?
He's calling you a dummy, dude.
Don't really
know. I'm just wondering what other color. Like, I feel like brown and blue is like the go-to eye colors when you think of eye colors.
Don't you make my brown eyes turn blue. What? I forget how it goes.
There is actually a surgery you can get to turn brown eyes blue.
Whoa.
That sounds gross.
That's gnarly.
They use lasers to do something to the pigment.
Lasers?
Freaking lasers.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
It's true, man.
I don't like it. I don't believe it.
I think hazel eyes are the third most common.
Hazel? Who's this hazel lady?
She had that TV show back in the 50s. She was a maid.
No, I don't believe it.
She was a maid, I think, wasn't she?
Just, yeah.
You kind of sound like you're trying to do a Mr. Magoo.
Yeah, Mr. Oh, I guess I do sound like that.
Money Station, you've done it again. You know.
Holy shit, I beat this level.
You are still playing that damn game.
Ooh, I made myself dizzy with that.
Damn your eyes. Don't you have something better to do? Like talk to me?
I am talking to you. Shut up.
I need your full attention, Mike. Focus.
You don't need my full attention.
I think I do.
You need a punch in the throat.
Now, come on. Hey now.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it.
How do you feel about playing a Sisters of Mercy song?
Like on the show?
No, like me and you play it.
Oh, learning it. Yeah. Oh, okay. Which one?
I don't know.
Well, then you can't.
No mercy.
No mercy.
It's probably not a great idea anyway, because I got to imagine the guitar parts of those aren't very exciting.
Hey, I'll take whatever. I can't play, so it doesn't matter.
Because, like,
everything's educational for me.
Like, taking, like, say, This Corrosion as an example.
Okay.
That's mostly bass and drums. And the guitar is just doing little bananing, bananing, you know, stuff like that.
Okay, sorry. Forget it then.
Yeah, that was a dumb idea, Mike.
That was your idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, never mind then. Oh! Ants on a Plane.
Oh, I've seen that.
Terrible movie.
Yeah, real bad.
I was just trying to distract you.
Oh, sorry.
From my, you know, bad ideas. Anyway. I saw, what's her name? Rebecca De Mornay? Is that how you say that?
Yes.
I saw her playing a pretty effectively creepy psycho mom in a horror movie.
Mom or babysitter?
Mom.
Okay, what movie was that?
It's called Mother's Day.
Oh, gosh!
From 2012.
Hmm.
And it's got a surprisingly familiar cast in it. Like, I recognized a lot of people in this movie.
Hmm.
It's true. But, yeah, she was really good as being a, just a psycho. Like, what level are you on now?
Level 235.
You've spent that much time playing that game?
Look! You need to shut up! You need to shut up right now!
Is this because your PlayStation's broken?
Yes!
Oh my god, I didn't put that together!
Shut up! Shut up, all of you!
So much. Now I get it. He's so desperate.
I want to kill all of you.
Thank you for putting those together for me.
You don't know. You don't know me.
I, you get into, like, the kind of survival horror type games and stuff, right?
You know what? I like the idea of them, but I've rarely played one through the end.
Oh, okay. I was looking to see if there was something. Oh, it was after we were talking about the Call of Cthulhu, the Dark Corners of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and looked that up, and I had forgotten that that was only on Xbox and PC.
Mm-hmm.
So there never was a PlayStation version of that.
Okay.
I don't think. I think the article said that the plans got scrapped because there was a lot of bugs in it and stuff.
Okay.
But while I was looking that up, I went to, there is a newer Cthulhu game on, for PS4.
Really?
I think it's just called Call of Cthulhu.
Hmm.
In fact, I'm going to look that up. But, yeah, it's just called Call of Cthulhu. I guess it came out in 2018.
Cthulhu!
By Maximum Games. So.
Cthulhu!
Cthulhu. Hello, Cthulhu. Okay, buddy. Right.
I'm sorry, guys. I've gone insane.
But anyway, so when I looked that up, then, you know, it was throwing up a bunch of recommendations for other types of games. I was going to ask you if you played any of them.
Okay.
Like The Sinking City?
Nope.
Which, from the reviews or from the description of it, seems Cthulhu-esque, but it's not directly, like, related. Or Lovecraft-esque, I guess. Lovecrafty?
You're Cthulhu-esque.
Is he saying Tulo?
He's saying Tulo, yeah. Tulo. He's all about Tulo. No, I don't know what that means, what you're saying.
I was saying Tula. Tula. You know.
Tula?
Tula. The Bond girl from the 80s.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cthulhu.
Tawny Catane.
Tula Catane.
Tula Catane?
Talky Tawny Catane?
Talky Tawny Catane? Holy shit, that needs to be tweeted. Talky Tawny Catane.
That needs to be photoshopped, like Tawny Catane in stripes or something?
Yeah, it does. Oh, that's awesome.
Talky Tawny Catane.
Talky Tawny Catane. Why did I decide that's how he talks?
I don't know.
What? What were you going to say, Addison?
I was going to say, it's not Cthulhu, but have you watched the new Resident Evil trailer?
Oh, no. I didn't know there was a new one.
It's not really Lovecraftian, but it has that same, like, because it's the village. It looks like it has that same, like,
They've done that before with Resident Evil.
Though. Yeah.
Are they still using those, what are they, the Plaga?
The what?
You know, the tentacle head people?
I don't think so. This one's vampires, I think?
Yeah, it's tall.
It's real tall vampire lady. And her children.
Weird.
And the main character...
so tall.
She's real tall. She has to, like...
What is the deal with you people? What do you mean, she's tall?
Like, as in, it has to bend completely in the... down or crouch completely down to walk through a doorway, like
I can do that,
like down to her knees.
Are is Reverse and The Village the same thing, or are those two different things?
Village is number 8.
Okay.
I think. It's the newest one. And you're like breaking, you're like sneaking into this castle to try and find your daughter or something.
Give me my daughter.
Hey, was the last one first person?
Yeah.
I think so, from what I remember seeing the gameplay stuff.
That's the one where it starts off where you're in that house and like the people are coming home, right? Yeah. I've never really been interested in the Resident Evil games, but this new one looks awesome. That'd be interesting to play.
I remember thinking that last one, the house one, looked pretty good. It looked nice and tense. Like.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling very tense.
But yeah, you should look up the tall vampire lady.
Tall vampire lady.
All right. See that? Like that was one of the things I really liked about the very first Resident Evil. Was it felt tense and claustrophobic a lot. Yeah. And it wasn't much of an action game, really, but there were jump scare type stuff in it.
This one kind of has that. Like, you seem like you have weapons, but you do also seem very vulnerable. Like, there's scenes in, like, the gameplay trailer where you're, like, being attacked by these, like, vampire ladies, and they're just, like, flying at you as, like, clouds of bats.
Are they not as tall vampire ladies?
Yeah, they're the shorter vampire ladies.
So we can call them the shorties.
I'm not into how obsessed everybody is with height now.
Of course not. You're tall. You can afford to not be obsessed with height.
That's very horny for this vampire lady.
She's like a vampire version of that lady from Game of Thrones.
The Dothraki? No.
Gwendolyn Christie?
Gwendolyn. Captain Phasma.
You all are just spouting out syllables and telling me their words.
What are words for?
I'm not listening anymore. Yeah, I'll check that out. It sounds cool. How about, have you played a game called Fade to Silence, Mike?
No.
Okay, how about Those Who Remain?
No.
Okay, how about A Plague Tale?
No, but I've seen it. What?
Oh, Plague Tale looks that game.
You can't do it.
Why? What does that look? It didn't look that bad.
It's rats the game. There's so many rats.
You guys are scared of rats?
Have you seen these rats?
I saw the trailers and the playthrough stuff.
Mike's got rats in his car. Rats don't mean nothing to Mike.
Yeah, I got rats in my car. I'm not worried about rats.
Mike's come to terms with the rats.
Those rats were ratatouilles, and they were just trying to fix your car for you.
No. I don't trust them.
That's pretty specious.
Whatever. Animals know I'm their friend.
Except for the rats.
You need to shut it.
They're going to chew your toes off.
Rats ain't going to chew my toes off.
Well, that's what you say now.
Nice, Gerd.
Skirt. Okay, how about a game called Dollhouse?
Nope, never heard of it.
That one's, apparently you're being pursued by a slasher.
It sounds cool, but I've never heard of it.
What game?
Dollhouse?
Dollhouse.
That's not real.
Sean says it's not real.
I'm looking at it.
Heard of it, so how could it be real?
Yeah, Sean says you're dumb and lying.
I don't think he said that.
I'm pretty sure he said that.
No, I don't think he said that.
Prove it again.
No, I mean, it's on record here. He didn't say that, Mike.
Prove that he didn't say it.
Look, stop trumping me.
We live in a new world, man.
Okay, how about White Day, A Labyrinth Named School?
No, that doesn't even sound like a video game.
Okay, this should be a trivia thing. Like, names, is this or is this not a video game? But yeah, this is one where you're in a haunted school, and apparently you have to do a bunch of stealth stuff and puzzles.
Wow. Sounds real fun.
Okay, so essentially you just haven't played any of these. What do you play? Jeez.
My PS4 is dead.
These games have all been out for a while.
What?
These games have all been out for a while.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't play enough games for you.
What about Remothered?
Remothered? No, I haven't played Remothered.
Okay.
Doesn't seem like a game I'd be interested in.
Well, Big Mama's House.
Big Mama's House? Is that like Big Mama's House?
I don't think so. It's a survival horror game.
About getting out of Big Mama's house?
Okay. How about...
Are we frustrating you?
How about The Dark Pictures, Little Hope?
No, never heard of it.
All right. Pineview Drive?
No. Again, not a game.
How about Home Sweet Home?
That I've heard of.
It's a slasher game, I think.
Not played it. Home Sweet Home is a slasher movie starring Body by Jake, whatever, Jake Steinfeld.
Oh, yeah?
It's one of the very rare Thanksgiving-themed horror movies.
There's not really a lot of those, is there?
No. It's also got a, like, for the 70s, you don't see very many movies where a kid is dressed up in Kiss makeup with a battery pack guitar. Like, he's got, like, a remote amplifier that he's walking around with.
My very first amp was one of those little battery-powered, like, box amps.
And his name is Creature. They call him Creature.
Huh. That's a heck of a thing.
Just thought I'd tell you about your favorite movie, Home Sweet Home.
Well, thanks, Mike. Say, do we have any email?
You wish.
Well, yes, I do wish, Mike. Are you saying we don't have any email?
I don't know. Let me look.
Put your phone down.
I put my phone down. We probably don't have any email. Nobody ever sends us email.
You game-addicted person, you.
I'm going to stab you in the brain. I got to do something to satisfy my brain.
Draw something.
Oh, we got email.
Hey.
Henrik from Denmark says, "Hi, Crank Mike and other red-blooded Americans. The majority of entertainment I consume takes place in the U.S., and I talk to Americans every day. And yet, despite how familiar your country is, sometimes I am stunned by some of the huge differences there are."
Like what?
The presidency of Donald Trump, the cult of behavior of his fans, and now the attack on the Capitol, is just so hard to understand what is going on in these people's heads.
You're not the only one.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
I read a thing today that said that through shell companies, Trump was actually financially enabling the rally-goers, like the people who were organizing the rally.
I don't believe that.
They were able to trace some of the money through shell companies back to actual Trump organization. Yeah.
Well, I honestly don't believe that, but that would be surprising to me.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
What else did he say? I'm writing this the day before the inauguration, but unless something utterly crazy happens once again, then the U.S. will have a new president and everything can hopefully start to calm down and things will get a little more sane. It does feel like a weight has been lifted, but I don't know how less sane things will be.
Yeah.
I hope you all had a good new year, and I look forward to more Crankcast in 2021. Henrik from Denmark. The thing about these people that are crazy right now, that was them in power. They thrive on, underdogism.
Yeah.
They love, because it doesn't make sense when you talk about conspiracy theories when you're the guys in control. But now they're back underground again, so now that stuff makes sense to their little monster network.
Yeah, they're already trying to basically spin their conspiracy theories to ignore the fact that everything they predicted was wrong.
Yeah. You know? I mean, people have been doing it forever. I mean, look at televangelists.
Well,
they
predicted
the end of the world so many times, and then they got to go back to their people and say, you know what?
Well, I mean, look at like the Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witnesses. They were based off of a guy who was basically just making predictions off of stuff in the mid-1800s. Where they thought the world was going to come to an end, like in October of 1849 or something like that.
That person was Jimmy the Greek.
No, it was something Miller, I think.
Jimmy the Greek.
It was, this was an article I read a while back. I can't remember the name of it, the guy, but that's how, like, the Jehovah's and the Seventh-day Adventists came about, was from after this Millerite movement, or whatever his name was, splintered apart.
They were fans of the Dark Knight Returns.
Or, yeah, either that or they were fans of light beer. Miller Light.
And Millerite. Miller Light for Millerites.
All right.
Any plans for episode 800?
That's coming up.
So, no, we have no plans.
2 weeks away. What should we do for episode 800? That's sort of a milestone, right?
Henrik, you've listened to this show long enough that know that we're not going to do nothing special.
Yeah, probably not.
And Crank will be sad about it.
Yeah.
But you know what? He'll work through it, and he'll forget that it happened, too.
Yeah. That's the only way I can survive. Do you ever think
Captain
about... Go ahead.
Do I ever think about what?
I was going to, you know, break the mood up a little bit and ask, you know, do you ever think about dying?
You asshole. Captain Colin writes, "Hi chaps, Happy New Year, etc. Today, the 20th of January, would be Buffy Summers, the Vampire Slayer's 40th birthday.
Yeah,
Does that make you feel old? Still one of my favorite TV shows ever made."
Like, I didn't know what was going on. I kept seeing Buffy pictures pop up on Instagram and stuff. And finally, I actually, like, read some of them. Like, oh. And then I got confused because I was like, surely Sarah Michelle Gellar is, like, older than 40, right?
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, I was like, and the show's not 40, so what are they talking about?
I didn't know her birthday was like such a, was like a actual defined date.
Did you say Major Buffy?
I guess so.
What'd he say?
Sean said he's the same age as Buffy.
Yeah, I don't know, I mean, was there an episode where she had a birthday party or something? Is that how we know?
I think she's had several birthday parties on that show.
Okay. Because I don't remember. It's been so long since I've seen the show. I've got it in my queue. I've been thinking about rewatching it.
I've rewatched it a couple of times, and it held up then, but it's been many years since.
I remember trying several years ago, and I thought that the first season was kind of rough.
Yeah, I've never really found a difference between any of the seasons.
Okay, well, maybe I'll think different if I try it again.
What are your thoughts on selling digital art as limited edition prints? Do you think there is a market for digital commissions printed exclusively and numbered? I've been furloughed since last March, and it looks like I will be until at least April, so I decided to try and get back into drawing. I've seen his work, too. Julie and I have both commented on his paintings being a lot more than we thought old Colin could do. Like, I didn't know he could draw.
You were just used to seeing his cardboard costumes?
Yeah.
He should sell his costumes.
You should sell those fucking costumes. Get your Etsy store up, dog.
That's not a bad idea, really. I mean,
it's not a bad idea at all.
I think a lot of artists do that, though. A lot of artists that work digitally, they'll do limited prints of their stuff.
Yeah, I'm not the one to ask about that because I've never really done it. I mean, Sean's close, but he's done screen prints, you know.
Right. And Jenny Frizen's done several like that, right?
Yeah.
She's sort of a hybrid worker, right? Like some of the,
I mean, the prints are still. It doesn't matter for the prints.
Yeah, I guess not. I was just trying to think. I was trying to remember. Part of her work is done on physical media, and then she finishes it up digitally?
Yeah, she paints it digitally.
Okay, yeah.
But as I'm currently living in my parents' spare bedroom, I'm working digitally on my iPad as I have no room to paint or draw. Hope you have a great week. Cheers, Captain Colin. I know inkers and colorists that sell exclusive prints. So I don't think it's out of the question. I mean, if it's only going to exist in that one way, then, I mean, you're not lying to people.
Right.
It's just a matter of who wants to buy it, I guess.
I wish I could recommend a market. Like,
well, that's the thing, right? I don't even know that stuff.
I mean, I know people sell, well, I mean, prints and stuff. I've bought stuff from artists off Etsy, like you were saying before.
Yeah, Julie and I have both. I mean, Julie buys a lot of art off of Etsy, actually. I don't know if, I mean, I think they have a UK. I think they sell overseas.
Oh, I didn't even think about that, yeah.
But yeah. Your stuff was impressive, Con. I think you should try and do that.
And sell your costumes.
And, you know, until Sean mentioned it, yeah, that's a great idea.
Because the good thing about those costumes he makes is that he can flatten them out.
Yeah, they're easy to ship.
Well, and also, like, not even just necessarily for wearing them. I mean, they could be wall art, you know?
Oh, right. Yeah, I didn't think about that. So. I mean, that would be more in the, like, how you decide to market it. But I think there are legs there.
Of course there's legs. It's a costume.
You little bitch.
Hey, man. Was that the end?
Yeah, that's all the emails.
Oh. Thanks for writing, Henrik and Colin.
Yes. Thank you, our faithful standbys.
And good luck with selling stuff. So.
Yeah. I understand. I'm looking in the cracks of the couch for money, too.
Maybe you should start selling prints.
That sounds like so much work.
It is. Okay, well, I guess we're at the part of the show where I ask if anybody's got anything in stores this week.
I don't think so, but...
Isn't Goon...
The Goon trade that I drew is, I think, final order cutoff is Monday, so
get
your requests in.
And that was Marissa on Colors, right?
Yes.
Right on. So, that's Goon. What's the title of the trade?
That's a good question. What is that title of that trade? It's called Fishy Men, Witchy Women, and Bitter Beer.
That's very Goon.
Yep.
So there you go. Talk to your comic shop. Place an order. Find an order to cut off.
Do it. Or Captain Colin's going to come after you.
In costume.
In costume.
Now, I mean, you know, might be a little awkward. And he shows up in, like, you know, a big cardboard Chewbacca costume, but...
He's still going to kick your ass. It might look pretty silly, but he's going to kick your ass.
Right.
He's been working out, too, so...
Well, he doesn't have a lot else to do, apparently, because he's on furlough. Or he's been furloughed.
You're furloughed.
That's, I hope not. Jeez. I have a couple of things from Oni in stores this week.
When do you not?
I don't think I had anything last week.
Anyway. I don't believe that for a second.
Well, it's true. I can't letter every comic, Mike.
No.
Let's see. From Oni, it's there's a graphic novel called Lemonade Code.
Lemonade Code?
Yeah, it's about a sort of a fight between kids in their neighborhood, like lemonade stands, but it's got like high-tech stuff in it.
Mm.
And viruses and bugs, like
what?
Techno bugs.
Does anybody die?
And witchy women.
Whoa, there's the stealing.
And it's got one of those giant cats that I was talking about, those
Maine Coon?
Yeah, the Maine Coon cats. Ginormous.
They is big.
It's like, you know, it's like the really tall vampire lady of cats.
Callback.
Hey. Also the volume 12 of Rick and Morty trade paperbacks in stores this week. And Rick and Morty Ever After number 4 is also in stores this week. That's the fairy tale Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Rick and Morty.
Yeah, boy. I won't do that again. And I think that's all I've got in stores this week.
Yay!
So, I guess we're done.
Thanks for calling. Bye.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for Captain Colin.
You can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is ihatemike.com. I think you can still buy some of Mike's art at cadencecomicart.com.
Probably.
It's really old art, though.
It's still good.
Right, I'm just saying.
Not like it goes bad.
You don't produce on paper anymore, you know? So.
Expiration date.
It's expired artwork. Come buy my expired artwork.
Yeah, it's past its freshness date.
It's funky. It's so funky.
It might have a little bit of mold on it, but you know, you just tear that part off and eat the rest.
It's got stank on it.
No.
You've been saying it forever. I can do it.
That's a good thing when it's got stank on it, man.
Oh.
You got to put some stank on it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I hate you. You're with them now.
You're not using it right. You got to use it right, Mike. Height?
I don't. They're all against me.
Anyway.
I was right. I was right. The Q people were right. You're all against me.
Q from Star Trek?
Yes. That's what that's all about. They're just Trek people.
Pretty much, yeah. And one of the most annoying Star Trek Next Generation characters.
Mm-hmm.
Which fits, because they're pretty annoying as far as cultists go.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyway, you can also read some Battlepug at battlepug.com, and Battlepug graphic novels and things are still in stores.
I started working on it again.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. So there might be more Battlepug in the, you know, somewhat...
Yeah, don't get crazy.
Near future.
Don't get crazy.
All right, then. Well, I won't. What was the Ghost Pug thing for?
That's another book idea.
Oh, okay.
Ghost Puppy!
All right. I was wondering, because I didn't see that in any of the pictures I learned. I thought it was going to show.
What's up with that? That should be in there.
I didn't see it.
Damn. Ghost Puppy.
I mean, that wasn't in Housewarming, was it?
Maybe I'm supposed to do... Maybe he wants me to do more pages.
I don't know. We'll figure that out. All right, then. You all have a good weekend, and we'll see you next time.
I'll do what I want.
Stay safe.
Okay.
Be good to each other.
Okay.
Go read the poem, Desiderata.
You're not talking to me, are you?
Desiderata, that's how you pronounce that, sorry.
What are you saying?
It's an old poem. It's about, you know, the desirable things.
Poems?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody reading poems over here.
It's an uplifting poem. It's appropriate for the times.
Perm.
Inspirational.
Perms?
It's perm. Perm.
I need some perms.
I need a perm. I need a poem.
Who's Anita? Who's Anita Poem?
She was a friend of mine. Yes, Anita Poem.
Anita Poem, get me a martini.
Anita Poem would say, get your own damn martini. And bring one for me as well.
This is so stupid.
Yeah, but it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
All right, then. Goodbye.
Bye.